let's stand and sing together. We're going to raise the roof tonight.
There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seeks that grand abode. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long my face to see. Oh,
so big. Well, happy Wednesday, church. We're glad you're joining us virally, video. Yeah. I know. I've been staring at Ben and a camera for months. So, do what? He did. He was the only one in the building. He did. Ben got very pretty over the time. It is good to see you. We are glad that you are here. It is good to be together, and I know this is one of the first times that we've had younger and older together. So this is the next step for us to getting everything back, and so just continue to do a good job and just leave that room between the families, and it's good to be here in the middle of the week. Good to be here in the middle of the week. I miss Wednesdays the most, because Wednesdays I get to talk to you and you get to talk to me, and so I got a lot of questions for the audience tonight. It's a big part of my lesson because I really miss that. But we will do announcements and prayer requests. And so just to let everybody know, Rex had his surgery, and Dale said that it went okay. They didn't get out as much as they hoped to get out. So we just need to keep Rex in our prayers for his recovery. And let's see, with the Bighams, Steve had a stent put in, but he's doing good. And he got to go home? Okay. Oh, that's right. They went down for the kids. So Steve had a stent put in, and Brooklyn had her surgery, but she's doing good. And then Bill fell at work today, and he's kind of down. It kind of fell on his back, and he can't catch a full breath. So we just need to pray. We just need to pray for him to recover. So.
And he's too stubborn to go to the doctor.
And you know how to use it. All right. So what else do we need to remember today, Robert? Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful to offer up prayers together in the holy name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for allowing us to worship, to share, to sing, to pray. Blessed be your name, Father, in our lives, in this church, in your eternal kingdom. Heavenly Father, we are all looking forward to that day when our King returns. We are all looking forward to that day when everyone will see your glory. And until that day, Father, increase our faith so that we will trust his glory, that we will be spirit-filled, that we will no longer serve the flesh, but that we will put it to death and walk in your light. Father, we thank you for your many blessings, your blessing of salvation, forgiveness of sins, making us and granting us the holiness of Christ and the righteousness that he has always shown. Father, we are grateful to be able to stand before your throne. We are grateful to be able to be your children, to know that you love us, to know that you look out for us, to know that you are the only true power. Father, I ask that you watch over our students, our kids, our teachers, and everybody getting ready for school. We pray that this will go well. We pray, Lord, that you just protect our kids. Father, we know that with the beginning of school, we know that things will probably spike again. So we just pray that you just remove fear from people's hearts. That we will not walk or live in fear, but that we will be bold, that we will be gentle with others, that we will love in all things. Heavenly Father, we We thank you for watching out for those that have gotten through their surgery, and we lift up those that need it still. We ask for healing for Rex, that he recover from his surgery. We pray that this will be a blessing to his strength, that you watch over him, Father. We're grateful that Steve's surgery went well, that they were able to travel. We are grateful that Brooklyn's surgery went well, and we just pray that they take it easy and recuperate. We lift up Bill tonight, Father, and we just pray that you bring him healing. We pray that you give him wisdom to make good decisions for his health, and we just pray that you work in him for good. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful for Gary's good news, and we just pray that everything is good. Father, we ask that you be with Tom. Watch over Scotty as they look out for him, and we just pray, Father, that you prepare his soul to meet you. Heavenly Father, we lift up Eddie and his loss. Just be with their family right now and give them your peace. Be with Chester's extended family and their loss. And just give them the peace that passes understanding. Heavenly Father, we ask for healing for Jim's daughter. We just pray that you help her to recover. We ask that you be with George in the hospital, and we just pray, Lord, that you will spare his feet. And we just pray, Father, that you will be there for him. We're grateful that Lisa's mom is doing well. Thank you for seeing her through. We pray that you give Anna healing to her back and healing for her heart. Strengthen her, Lord. Father, please be with our neighbor James and help him to recover. And we just pray that he can get back on his feet. Watch over Charlie and the baby, and just help her to think for two. Father, we lift up Terry, and we just pray that her physical therapy will go well. We just pray that she will be able to get back on her feet, and we just pray that her surgery coming up will be a blessing to her. Father, we lift up Tony as he deals with COVID right now, and we just pray that you just heal his body and just bless him from any lasting effects. Be with Tim as he gets his stents put in this week, and we just pray that you strengthen his body and watch over his health. We lift up Rita, and we just pray that you will be with her, that you'll give her peace in her heart as she awaits her doctor's appointment. We pray that she will rest easy with you, and we just ask for healing for her. We pray that you be with Enoch in his surgery, that you bless him with health, that you just watch over him and get him through. Father, we're grateful for Robert and Janet and Garrett, and just for seeing them through COVID, and we just pray that you protect them from lasting effects. Father, we just pray that your light will shine in our lives. We pray, Lord, that the faith we profess will be seen by others. Father, encourage us tonight with your scriptures. Encourage us tonight with our fellowship. Encourage us tonight with your presence. We thank you for hearing us, for loving us, and taking care of everyone that needs you. We offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more that I forgot to mention. Ed Jones, his wife passed away.
Yeah, we mentioned that Sunday. They had the service Sunday. All right, I'm starting. This first one's for the kids. So everybody listen up. Pay attention. You ready? Raise your hand if you ever got in trouble. Some of them can't raise it high enough. Tony's like, no, that's not high enough. Okay, all right, so we've been in trouble before. We know what that looks like. So again, kids, I'm going to ask you a question. This one's a little bit harder, But I want us adults to hear your perspective on this question, okay? What is the difference between punishment and discipline? What is the difference between punishment and discipline? Okay. All right. So Garrett says punishment is correcting when you do something wrong, and then discipline, you may or may not have done something wrong, but you need to be taught. Okay. All right. Any other kids? Not kids. So, kids, you agree with what Garrett said? Did he get it? Yeah, you got approval. He said, "Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right." Lance, what do you think? Oh, okay. All right. I only called on Lance because I knew Tony would go. You better not say too much, kid. Watch who you're driving home with, right? Yeah, there you go. This lesson hurts you more than it hurts me, right? Yeah. All right, so there's the kids' perspective of punishment and discipline. So now I'm going to open it up to the adults, okay? Adults, you can answer. What's the difference between punishment and discipline? Terry? Okay, all right. So discipline brings in the aspect of me, of self-discipline. Okay, all right. A negative thing. Right. Discipline, not always fun to learn the lessons of discipline, but it's a positive thing, Aaron. Okay. All right. So. Right. All right. Okay. So in a sense, everybody is going to be disciplined or punished. Right? It's up to us to figure out which one do we want to experience. And you can look at it as a grace too, because you still have a chance to straighten up. Absolutely. Absolutely, Tony. Okay.
Punishment is pain. It's, you know, whether it's physical pain or mental pain or something, there's something there that's painful and it can go too far. Discipline is there to guide and direct.
Yeah. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. And while we're turning over to 1 John chapter 4, is it, and I love your feedback, and I think we're really looking in a good direction. Can discipline, whether it is self-imposed or externally imposed, can discipline be painful?
Yeah.
What makes discipline painful? Do what? You're not getting what you want?
If
And isn't it, don't you think it's fair to say that the pain level of discipline only reveals how far off we are from where we should be? 1 John chapter 4, let's go down to verse 13. And you guys really nailed it on discipline and punishment, thinking about negative consequences with punishment and thinking about actually being trained for a good thing with discipline, that discipline trains us for good. And so John says here to the church, 1 John 4:13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, well, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So John tells us that punishment is connected to fear. Punishment is connected to fear. I did something bad. I got caught. I'm in trouble. I'm going to have some very negative consequences. I was afraid of when I was doing the wrong thing. Scared of being caught. Now I'm afraid because, you know, Dad sent me to my room and we're about to have the talk or the whooping or whatever it is. Punishment has to do with fear. And an interesting thing is that, wow, without love, it has to do with judgment too. That punishment is connected with judgment. Why is punishment so scary? Anybody, adults or kids. Why are we afraid of punishment? Pain? The stinging involved? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Punishment, I think, has more disappointment to it because, you know, punishment, you're on your own now. I did everything I could to try and raise you. You're done. Now you're going to answer the judge. If you get caught, they're going to take away your freedom. You know, thinking from the terms of how kids I work with it, it's you stole, and so we're going to take away your freedom.
Right. And so from Chester's perspective and working in the criminal justice system, what he sees is, okay, a parent's discipline did not work, or it was rejected, till where now the offender is standing in front of a third party and their future is completely out of their hands. It's no longer in someone who necessarily loves them, but now justice is being meted out. Tori? Okay, I like that. I like that idea of separation, of what differentiates just, you know, physical pain from the pain of punishment. Yeah, for sure. Tony?
This may be a perspective opinion, but punishment comes with an uncertainty. And what I mean by that is it can be just and it cannot be just. Where discipline is always trapped.
No, in fact, biblically speaking, and I need three volunteers. I got three quick verses to go to. Who's there? Matt, you're going to go to Matthew 25:46. And Ben, you're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And Tony, you're going to hit Jude 7. The biblical idea of punishment, when we understand this term from a biblical perspective, is not only that it is painful, but it is connected to separation, because when the Bible talks about punishment, it is eternal. That it is that separation, but that separation from God is a chasm that will not be breached. Breached? No. Is that the word? Bridged. Spun? Spanned? Crossed? That's right. All right, Matt is going to read Matthew 25:46.
These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Okay, 2 Thessalonians 1:9.
They will suffer the punishment of the destruction away from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might.
Jude 7. Right, so here we see the idea of punishment is that, just like Tori mentioned, it includes that separation. That when God, when Jesus comes back to separate, when Jesus comes back and basically says, okay, there is nothing holding back my wrath. I am going to let you go. I'm going to let you be over there. I'm no longer going to span where I am and where you are. You have to be away. And so over and over we get in Scripture that punishment, that eternal punishment is away from God. It's away from God, and you don't come back from that. You don't come back from that. There is a finality in punishment that really it does make it scary. It's just like when we talked about punishment, you know, for our kids. You know, our kids, they know they did something wrong, and they say, well, I have to be punished for that. And you think that some punishment, I mean, of course, some discipline, because being grounded could be discipline or punishment. Getting a spanking could be discipline or punishment. Losing a privilege, whether it's from your mom or dad or from the state or whatever, it could be a discipline for a short time, or if you completely, I mean, a life sentence, that's punishment. You are separated from your family and from society, and so that is a punishment. But let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, because I want us to take a look at discipline. I want us to take a look at discipline, because discipline has to do with love. It doesn't have to do with separation. It doesn't have to do with separation. And I think this is one of those things that kids, we need to hear this when we are being disciplined by our parents. And adults, parents, we need to hear this when we are disciplining our children, to make sure that to keep our lessons and our teaching, whether they be, you know, physical or psychological or emotional, we need to keep those lessons connected. That us, the little ones we're responsible for, and the lessons and the consequences need to hold us together. We're not trying to separate. We're not trying to punish, to abandon, but we're trying to correct. And so Hebrews 12 gives us a good idea of this. Let's start in verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as children. For what son is there that his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline, in which everybody has gone through, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we've had earthly fathers. They disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Now, for the moment, when it's happening, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So there's a few things in here I want us to catch. Let's go back to verse 4. He talks about this struggle. In your struggle against sin. Would you say that what this text is talking about is an internal or an external struggle? In your struggle against sin. Is that an internal thing or is that an external thing? Okay. I got both A and B. So why external?
Well, because in this day and age, Christians are being murdered for just being Christians. It's very possible that the audience that he's writing to, they haven't gotten to that point yet. Yeah, they say they're Christians, but they haven't had to go be fed the lions yet.
Okay. All right. So the real possibility of dying or being physically hurt for their faith was a very real thing. Okay, all right. So, Tori, other side, internal, why? Okay. Okay. All right. So, the decision, I guess, to sin is within us. However, the struggle that sin brings, or even righteousness, in their context, it seems external. You haven't resisted to the point of what? Shedding your blood. You're still alive. You're still alive. You mean you're in this great fight. You're in this great fight, so you're not done. That's a great lesson for us. We need to hear this, right? Just because things get difficult, we are not done. Our faith is not over. We have not crossed the finish line. We have not finished our race. We have not completed our life of faith. How do we know? Do one of these. Oh, yep, still in it. No giving up. No giving up. No sitting down. No saying, oh, well, you know, I've been a Christian this long or this many years. I've done done everything I need to do. Apparently not. You ever forget that? Check your pulse. Check your pulse. In your struggle against sin, you're struggling to make those good decisions. You're still struggling to do the right thing, but that struggle still has some very real consequences. Now, he goes on to say that God disciplined us. Well, I'll ask you. Why does God discipline us? Uh-huh. And what does he want out of it? Verse 10. There's a difference between why our fathers or why our parents disciplined us and why God disciplines us. Well, you what? Well, that's which one? Well, in verse 10, though, what's the purpose of God's discipline? It has a specific purpose. To share in his holiness, that God teaches and directs us so that we, too, may be holy, may be set apart. So if I'm doing something in my life that I'm not supposed to be doing, and I say, you know what? That may not be the best thing that I should be involved in right now. I've allowed myself to get involved in something earthly, and I don't think that's the best decision. It may cause a little bit of pain, a little bit of discomfort, if I have allowed myself to be shaped into the form of that thing. And so if I'm going to rip that thing out of my life, that may cause some discomfort. But that's discipline. It's for my own good. God is calling me to be holy, to be set apart, to not be conformed to this world. He's calling me to be transformed. So God disciplines us to make us holy. Why? Because He is holy. Because He wants us to be in His presence. And this is one of those interesting Christian problems. We're called to be holy so that we can share in the presence of God right now. It's not, well, I'm going to do all these good things so that one day I can be close to God. It is, I'm going to be set apart from this world because that's where God dwells. God dwells in holiness, and He has called me to be holy so I can be close to Him. Now, our parents disciplined us as they saw best, right? Your parents said, hey, this is not a good thing for you to be in, or this is something I need to take away from you, or this, you're going to get grounded for a little while because you don't need to do that. We didn't always understand it. Like, well, what's the big deal? You know, maybe as kids we say, well, I see other kids doing this and they don't get in trouble. Why am I getting in trouble? Well, your parents are saying, because I want what is best for you. I don't want you to be like every other kid. I don't want you to look like everyone you go to school with or everyone that you know in the neighborhood. I don't want you to be just like them because they do some things that are not good. I want you to be good. Discipline trains us in holiness. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9:24. Anybody else want to read? Twenty-four to the end of the chapter. Okay, so Paul's here talking about disciplining ourselves, self-control, self-discipline. So what benefit does self-control have? What benefit does me disciplining myself? What benefit does that have? And why bother? Why should I learn to do that, or why should I strive to be able to discipline my own actions? Scotty? Okay. All right. So definitely I have to discipline myself because that's going to go a long way in how others are convinced about the life of Christ. Okay. Tony? There you go. There you go. Discipline ourselves, and every one of us that are raising kids, we want them to get to the point to discipline themselves, number one, so we don't have to do it anymore, right? But in the end, Tony picked up what Paul was saying there, we discipline ourselves so that we can avoid punishment. I don't want punishment, because I understand that punishment is a separation. Punishment, punishment involves separating the one that I love, separating me from the one that I love. I don't want that. I want to be close. I want to be near. I want to be in the presence of holiness. And so I'm not going to need someone else to say, hey, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't. I'm going to make the decision. That's not a good thing to get involved in. This is the good that I should be doing. Well, why? Why won't you just involve yourself in everything that we're doing? Why do you live a life different from how we live? Because I want to be holy. I want to be around God. God is good. Everything that God does is good. Everything He has done for me is good. And that's where I want to be. Forever. I want to avoid punishment. Aaron? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and if we are practicing self-control, or if we are allowing the Spirit to take control or empower us to practice self-control, if that fruit is seen within our lives, then we can avoid the discipline. We can definitely avoid the punishment, but we really want to avoid the discipline too, don't we? We do. We are free in Jesus Christ. We are free in Christ, and we want to live and enjoy that life. We just want to make sure that living and enjoying that freedom we have in Christ means that we are near to God. He said, Paul said, you are free in Christ. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for sin. That's not what freedom's about. We're not free. We're free in Christ. We're not free from Christ. Yeah. Yeah, 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 you've got to receive it, just like the Spirit. All right, last one. I'm going to read one more verse, Revelation 3:19. Revelation 3:19. This is going to show us, and Jesus speaks to the church. Revelation 3, he's talking to Laodicea. And in verse 19, he says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. If I love you, I discipline you. I actually care that you are the kind of person that's worth being around. So I'm going to discipline you. Okay? Because unruly people, they're not that fun to be around. Maybe for a little bit, but in the end, you know where it's going. It's trouble. So Jesus says, those that I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. The purpose of discipline within the confines of following in the footsteps of Jesus, being close to God, the purpose of the discipline is so that our hearts are broken and we quickly come back and say, I'm sorry, I did something wrong. I'm sorry that I did or said whatever it was. So when we're disciplined, we need to apologize. We need to apologize. Kids, when you're disciplined, you need to apologize. You need to let your parents know, I'm sorry I did that. That's not what I want to be. That's not who I want to be. I'm sorry I did that. I want us to be close. And I don't want my bad words or actions separating us. So we apologize because apologies mend the relationship. So, remember... Kids, adults, Christians, the one who disciplines us loves us. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. So be well disciplined this week. Don't get punished. It's not fun. It's not fun. We are so glad to see you today. And yeah, it was a blessing. Singing was a blessing. Being able to talk to everybody was a blessing. So... let's still, the distancing is the best thing we can do. And I'll be honest with you, It's probably going to hit us when school starts. Everything's going to spike because all of our kids are going to be... So, you know, let's just do the things that we can to protect ourselves the best that we can. And the main thing is for now, for Wednesdays, just make it just like Sundays. We can go outside, we can talk, we can fellowship. But it's good to see you. It's good to see you tonight. It's good to be here, isn't it? Yes. Yes, it is. It's good to have. I told Ben, I said, I really have enjoyed getting to know you so well over these past few months. And it is. Ben and I, we've grown very close over the past few months. It has been a very sharpening. Yes, that's right. That's right. We have become as close as two socially distant people could be. Yes. So, but I'm glad to see all of you. So have a blessed week. Have a blessed week.